This morning on WCHL, 3 days into the early voting period, turnout remains brisk across Orange County and around North Carolina. After the report released last week into fraudulent classes and other academic irregularities at the university, some students are worried their degrees will be tainted by the scandal.
And current students worry that their degrees in the Reformed African American and Diaspora Studies, or AAAD department, won't be worth much.
And the UNC academic scandal has made its way into the national media as well as late-night talk shows. Even Saturday Night Live had a take.
UNC student-athletes refuted the report, calling it both ungood and distrue.
These stories and more, plus your Chapel Hill Copper Road traffic and weather together in WCHL Championship Sports. The Seattle Seahawks take the Carolina Panthers on Sunday with a 13-9 victory. And
playmakers help the team bring home a big win from Charlottesville.
That's this morning in our Chansky Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
8:05 at WCHL, 44 degrees in Chapel Hill. Look for lots of sunshine today, high today in the upper 70s. Really nice weather for the next couple of days. 3 days into the early voting period, and turnout remains brisk across Orange County at all the early voting places and across the state of North Carolina. That's no surprise. Turnout is typically lower for midterm elections, but this year, all eyes are on our state as the race for control of the U.S. Senate could come down to the contest between incumbent Democrat Kay Hagan and Republican challenger Tom Tillis, Speaker of the State House of Representatives. Surveys show the two in a neck-and-neck race, and different pollsters have different candidates in the lead. Last week, Public Policy Polling released its latest survey showing Hagan holding on to a slim 3-point lead, with Libertarian Sean Haugh polling about 5% and a sizable number of voters still undecided. And we're not alone. All over the nation, more and more surveys are showing more and more races coming down to the wire, which means it's still entirely unclear who's going to be celebrating come Election Day. WCHL's Aaron Keck spoke with Public Policy Polling Director Tom Jensen a few days ago.
There's really just an incredible number of races this year that we really just don't know what's going to happen 10 days out. And certainly, I think the last three or four election cycles, about a week and a half, 2 weeks before the election, you had a very clear picture of what was going to happen across the country. And there's just a lot more ambiguity about that this year. We got a bunch of new polls with the Democrat up for the Senate in Georgia, and we've also gotten a bunch of new polls showing that the Senate race in Colorado is getting further and further away from Democrats. And you talk about those two states. Georgia's a state that Barack Obama lost two times. Colorado, on the other hand, is a state that Barack Obama won two times, and where Democrats haven't lost a major statewide election in 12 years. And you just see those two races going in totally opposite directions of each other and totally opposite directions of how the states usually vote.
And when you talk about Georgia, I think about Kentucky, too, where Mitch McConnell is sort of in a race for his life, according to some polls. And that's not something that I think anyone expected maybe a year or two out. Does that mean that it's really coming down not so much to partisan leanings one way or the other, but really to the identities of the particular candidates and their individual quirks and characteristics?
Yeah, we're getting a lot of reminders this election cycle that candidates matter. And I think that's definitely a case, for instance, in North Carolina. I think that if we told you a year ago at this time that Barack Obama's approval rating in North Carolina was going to be 40% and that it looked like it was going to be an overall good year for Republicans nationally, I think we probably would have agreed that Kay Hagan was going to be doomed. And instead, you still have a situation where Hagan's leading in most of the polls. We had her with a 3-point lead this week. It's a reflection of the fact that the Republicans ran the wrong candidate. Tom Tillis and his record with the legislature that's so unpopular were not the right face for Republicans to put forward this year, and that may let Kay Hagan survive. So what we are seeing in a lot of these races is that candidates count. You know, I think Republicans are going to take control of the Senate, but if by some chance they don't, and North Carolina going for Hagan is the difference maker and Republicans not getting control, I think you're definitely going to see a lot of hand-wringing about why didn't we recruit a better candidate in this race.
And talk about some of the details that that you found in the latest poll on the Hagen-Tillis race, because there's a couple polls that are showing slight differences here and there. It's all within the margin of error. But there's some really interesting numbers that come out of the public policy polling survey, especially in terms of the vote share that Hagen gets with Democrats versus the vote share that Tillis gets with Republicans, and also the extent to which Sean Haw is and is not making a difference as a libertarian.
Yeah, one thing that's really interesting is that Kay Hagan and Tom Tillis are both getting 82% of the vote from within their own party. And that's really unusual for North Carolina politics, because traditionally we've seen so many registered Democratic voters vote Republican in national elections. And we're really not seeing that this year. And part of that change is structural. A lot of those kinds of Democrats who voted Republican for the president and Senate and that kind of thing have either become unaffiliated or quite frankly died, because it was such a generational thing. But it's also a structural thing. It's also something specific to this race as well, where, you know, a lot of more conservative registered Democrats who might be open to voting for a Republican in national elections a lot of the time just don't care for Tom Tillis. So very unusual to see a Democrat getting the same share of their party vote that the Republicans getting, and when that happens, Democrats are going to win.
That is Tom Jensen, director of Raleigh-based public policy polling. There's more to that interview. You can hear the entire conversation on our website at chapelboro.com. As for voter turnout in the first 3 days of the 9-day early voting period, 6,690 voters have cast their ballots in Orange County alone. That means that Orange County is on track to see about 20,000 early voters this year. To put that into perspective, about 16,500 residents cast early ballots in the last midterm back in 2010. Early voting resumes this morning and continues through Saturday. There are 5 early voting sites here in Orange County: the Board of Elections Office in downtown Hillsborough, and Masters Garden Preschool, also in Hillsborough, the Seymour Center in Chapel Hill off Homestead Road, North Carolina Hillel on Cameron Avenue right next to campus, and Carborough Town Hall on Main Street. The Seymour Center has seen the biggest turnout so far, with more than 2,000 early voters already. For a complete schedule of early voting locations and hours, visit our website, chapelboro.com. Tonight, the Chapel Hill Town Council will consider approving a new apartment building downtown, as well as a new subdivision on Homestead Road. The owners of the Franklin Hotel want to build another lot behind the hotel that straddles Keenan and Millett Streets. That project, known as The Graduate, would consist of 6 stories of apartments above a 2-story parking deck. The 97 apartments would be aimed at graduate students and young professionals. Now, if approved, the courtyards at Homestead would bring 63 single-family homes, along with a clubhouse and pool, to 18 acres across from Weaver Dairy Road Extension. The council will meet tonight at 7 o'clock in council chambers at Town Hall. Students, teachers, counselors, and administrators at Phillips Middle School in Chapel Hill all made an extra effort last week to make sure that everyone does their part to prevent bullying. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more on the story.
Sign, kind of small. We got to fill.
That 6th grade counselor, Aaron Murphy, speaking to a line of Phillips Middle School students waiting to sign an anti-bullying pledge posted on a wall of the cafeteria on October 22nd. Students signed the pledge poster and wore orange in support of Unity Day, a nationwide effort of the PACER National Bullying Prevention Center, which has been promoting Anti-Bullying Month all through October. In preparation for the big day, some of the kids participated in a rap video produced, directed, and edited by school counselor and apparently rapper Kevin Duquette.
Our whole student services department is going to be in the lunches kind of talking with kids. That way, if kids want to talk to us about bullying, we're all here.
Phillips has a history when it comes to the bullying issue. Back in 2011 and 2012, students, parents, and staff spoke out about what they called a serious bullying problem at the school. Demonstrations and a lawsuit followed, and Principal Cicely McCrimmon ended up leaving. Principal Rydell Harrison is new at the school. He said that Unity Day presents an opportunity to remind kids of the importance of a safe school environment. Harrison said he understands what happened in the past and that the best antidote to bullying is education. He added that the school has a no-tolerance policy. All reports of bullying at Phillips are investigated either by himself or Assistant Principal Kristen Walker.
The most important part about that whole process is what happens after, and that's the intervention. That's where we're really blessed to have some great counselors and our school social worker.
11-year-old Riley Akos, a 6th grader at Phillips, says she hasn't experienced bullying personally, but she recognizes that prevention is important.
I have not seen any like physical bullying, but I've seen cyberbullying and like exclusion from some of the sixth graders here.
Jacob Summers, also 11, said he has a more personal experience with bullying.
I've been bullied a couple times before because I have glasses and I'm not as athletic as other people. And I've also seen bullying because, well, it happens almost always, and I want to help prevent that.
Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
This weekend, the U.S. Department of Agriculture announced a major recall of more than 30,000 pounds of gluten-free breaded chicken products. Two products are affected, 10.5-ounce boxes of Bell & Evans gluten-free breaded chicken breast and 12-ounce boxes of Bell & Evans gluten-free breaded chicken breast nuggets. Inspectors discovered Staphylococcus bacteria at the plant where those two products are produced. Affected products have a best buy date of August 9th, 2015, and the establishment number P516 inside the USDA mark of inspection. So far, no one has reported getting sick from the products, but the USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service is warning people not to use them. Staph infections are common causes of food poisoning. Symptoms like nausea, vomiting, stomach cramps, and diarrhea usually develop within 6 hours and last for 1 to 3 days. WCHL News Time, 8:15. Time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL. Traffic brought to you this morning by the Carolina Inn. And here is Nikki Morse.
Thanks, Ron. Northbound 15501, seeing some heavy traffic now in segments from Franklin Street to I-40. 40 eastbound, you can see delay starting to show up as you head towards RTP from 751 through Davis Drive. Northbound Durham Freeway also slowing between Briggs Avenue and Austin Avenue as you head into downtown. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call, 967-8363, or safely tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. Everybody's sure. Getting along out there so far this morning. No spats, no real problems on the roadways.
So yeah, we hope so.
Everything is very smooth. Everybody keep that positive attitude. It's going to be that way all week long. Nikki Morse is going to be here all week long.
And, absolutely.
And so will I.
Yay!
I would say that it's good to be back this morning, but I would probably be lying if I were to say that, you know.
It is Monday.
Yeah, I'd like to be where I was the last few days of last week, but, you know, that was a lot of fun. So, at any rate, it is good to be back in here and know that everything is proceeding along nicely. And I don't know what cleaning product you're using over there, but boy, that stuff smells strong.
I'm sorry. I'll stop. I can't help it.
Actually, it's not bad. I was thinking that it's refreshing. It's not Lysol.
No.
I hate Lysol.
It's a Pledge product.
I cannot stand Lysol. And sometimes we use it to sterilize the microphones around here when there's a lot of sickness going around.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I know that, you know, you have to use it, and it's really good. It worked well, but I just can't stand the smell. But that is different.
It's nice, it's very refreshing, and it's cleaning all the germs and getting up the dust, which I can't take.
Okay, well.
I know. You'd think my house was as clean as I'm doing in here, but it's not.
And she's not a germaphobe, I promise.
No, I'm not.
But she's just trying to clean up over there because it was kind of a mess after the weekend.
Yeah, I'm somebody's mother, but not theirs.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, listen, thanks a lot.
Sure.
I'll give you a while. Andy, it's time now for, well, first of all, this word from the Carolina Inn. The Carolina Inn, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar, is where you can savor delectable cuisine with fresh local ingredients created by Executive Chef James Clark and his very talented culinary team. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant is a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. Now, turning to your Chapel Hill Carborough weather, it is 44 degrees in Chapel Hill, 43 this morning in Carborough, where it's always a little cooler. Sunshine today and nothing but high today in the upper 70s. Tonight, we're looking at mostly clear skies with the lows in the upper 40s. And then tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the low 80s. So a little bit warmer tomorrow, but still very, very nice over the next couple of days here. It is 8:18 at WCHL.
Good morning from 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. You're waking up with Ron Stutz.
And remember, we're your station for the Tar Heels.
WCHL News Time, 818. Last week, former federal prosecutor Kenneth Weinstein released a 130-page report exposing 20 years' worth of fraudulent classes and other academic irregularities, all centered around the Department of African and Afro-American Studies at Carolina. Former Department Administrator Deborah Crowder and former Department Chair Julius Nangoro were the central figures, and now the Daily Tar Heel is reporting that three other members of the department may be facing disciplinary action as well. We have that full report, by the way, on our website, chapelboro.com. Crowder and Nangoro have long retired. The fraudulent classes are no longer being offered. The department has been renamed, but still some students in that department are worried that their degrees will be tainted by this scandal. Elise McLaughlin reports for Carolina Connection.
It's a topic that has made national news repeatedly for more than 4 years. Now, Kenneth Weinstein's report has laid out the extent of the shadow curriculum in the former Department of African and Afro-American Studies. And current students worry that their degrees in the reformed African-American and Diaspora Studies, or AAAD department, won't be worth much. Like senior Taylor Weber Fields.
You have almost like you're getting a joke diploma. So it's like your diploma is a joke, your major is a joke. It's just, you know, it's just... It's that it's not important, that it's not on the same level of academia as the rest of the school.
Weinstein's report revealed paper courses weren't the typical rigor of real AAAD courses. Paper courses, listed as seminars or lectures, hardly met and required a paper at the end. The papers, often plagiarized, were still awarded high grades. Sophomore Aitza Burgess is an anthropology and communication studies double major. She said she was shocked at the longevity of the scandal, but hopes the report will help the entire campus.
I am glad that the university is taking strides to correct this reputation that has taken on for our AAAD department and to bring back the integrity to a AAAD degree, which seems to be a big issue for some of the students who have chosen that major.
Some students who have chosen to pursue coursework in AAAD said they suspect racial issues to be a factor in the scandal. Psychology, sociology double major Jasmine Wiggins said those involved in the scandal chose to run sham courses through AAAD, which points to a larger race problem.
I just feel like the AAAD department was targeted. Like, they did this specifically through this department for, like, because, you know, like, African-American history is not really valued in this society, so they kind of picked this department. Like, why not the communications department, where there's a high number of athletes taking class there, or dramatic arts, things like that. You pick this department on purpose, in my opinion, to be the fall guy if they happen to get caught.
Vice Chancellor for Workforce Strategy, Equity, and Engagement, Felicia Washington, sat on the panel during Wednesday's town hall meeting with other administrators to discuss the report. She said the findings of the Weinstein report led to a full investigation of the AFAM department due to the irregularities.
You know, it saddens me that any student feels that there's a racial tension or that they're being targeted. What Weinstein was brought here to do, as you know, is to look at the irregularities. And he has reported that those irregularities led him to only that department.
Weber Fields entered the university in fall 2013 as a transfer student. She said she was aware of the scandal surrounding the AAAD department, but didn't feel it would affect her in the way it has.
I still feel good about my decision to be a part of the department because I believe in the department. So I stand by the department to the end. Absolutely.
Weber Fields will graduate in May of 2015. As she continues to apply for jobs in graduate schools, she said she hopes the negative image of AAAD will not follow her career. In Chapel Hill, I'm Elise McLaughlin.
Carolina Connection is a radio news magazine of the UNC School of Journalism and Mass Communication. It airs on WCHL every Saturday morning at 8:30 during the UNC academic year. It's 8:23 at WCHL, and turning to WCHL Championship Sports. What a win for Carolina on Saturday in Charlottesville, coming from behind to beat the Virginia Cavaliers 28-27. A good win for the program, certainly, and this team just never says die. Brian Chakos, a former Tar Heel who knows what it's like to play in Charlottesville and how tough that can be, is with us now. And Brian, a signature win for the program and a good sign that the Tar Heels just might be on their way to another big turnaround like last year.
Ron, first of all, good morning, and it's a great day to be a Tar Heel. It is, that was a huge win for this football program. We needed it in the worst way. I know Larry and the guys are feeling good about themselves. Obviously, stringing two big wins in a row, especially in the Coastal Division, both being Coastal Division wins. And our hopes are still alive with possibly being in Charlotte the first week of December. I know that's the ultimate goal, and that's something we're working towards every single day. But what a great gutsy win for the program. A lot of big decisions were made out on that field on Saturday. A lot of key plays were made by some young talent. And I think that's what Carolina fans got to be excited about, is when you look at the guys who were either scoring the touchdowns, throwing the touchdowns, or making big plays, those guys are freshmen and sophomores. And that only just shows the way this football program's going and the excitement we have in front of us.
One player that nobody was talking about before the season started, and a lot of people are talking about him now, former walk-on Mac Hollins. That guy has turned in some really big plays, and certainly he did on Saturday.
Ron, I 100% agree with you. You know, Paul Connell and I talked about it on the heels of post-game coverage after Carolina football games. We think Mac Hollins is the best player on Carolina's football team. He does everything on special teams. He's on the four core special teams making plays. Obviously, he's a big threat at the wide receiver position. And he's almost like Chris Carter with the Minnesota Vikings. All he does is touch touchdowns. I mean, he's unbelievable with what he does for Carolina, being able to go up and make plays in the air. And, again, he plays with a ton of passion. You can see it if you watch him when he runs down on kickoff or he makes a big tackle or, again, he catches the ball and gets an end zone for us. So, again, what a great surprise. And it's great to have great young players in the program like that who are just going to continuously get better year after year.
And, of course, a courageous call at the end of the game with the onside kick called on by Coach Larry Fedora, perfectly executed by Nick Weiler. And, of course, there was Mac Hollins with those good hands recovering the football.
Well, it just shows that Coach isn't afraid. He trusts in the guys. He's not afraid to go after it and get the win. And that's what that, you know, that onside kick, Ron, I think that should show Carolina football fans that we're not being hesitant. We want to go and we want to take this game from Virginia, and that's exactly what that onside kick did. It didn't allow us to put our defense back on the field and allow Virginia the opportunity to march down the field for a field goal. And again, it goes back to Larry having the trust in the players, having the trust in the system and what we're trying to do, and just believing that someone's going to make a play. And again, it was our buddy Mac Hollins making the play, recovering the football. And again, what a great win in Charlottesville. You know, after so many years of Carolina football fans not seeing wins in Charlottesville, putting three together has been really exciting. And whoever continues to go from Carolina up to Charlottesville the last three games, let's continue to book that trip and get some more W's up there.
Well, we're talking to Brian Chakos, former Carolina offensive lineman and now in charge of fan development at UNC. And, Brian, where does this Carolina football team go from here? Next week, of course, we're on the road again. And then is there a realistic chance of doing what we did last year?
I think so, Ron. There's no doubt about it. A lot of those core guys that were on that team last year are back. They have a belief system in what we're doing. I think our coaching staff has that same belief system. And we have some tough opponents left on the schedule. There's no doubt about it. Obviously, going to Miami and seeing what Miami did to Virginia Tech this past weekend. And then, obviously, we'll be playing down the road in Durham in a couple of weeks. And David Cutcliffe's done a tremendous job with that Duke football program. So we have some difficulties still on the schedule. But, again, you know, the way our quarterback is playing, Marquise has done an unbelievable job to putting this team on his shoulders.
He has.
And playing just tremendously. I think, to me, I think definitely in need of first-team All-ACC quarterback. I mean, he's just played tremendously. So we have that excitement. And, again, our defense is getting better. There's glimpses of playmaking and some young playmakers stepping up. And that has, I think, Carolina fans really excited. But, you know, it's you know, Coach Adore will talk about it. It's 1-0 every single week. That's the goal, is 1-0. And so, you know, we go down to a tough Miami game. You know, obviously they have a lot of talent on that roster. There is no home environment to be intimidated of. So I'll be one of those 10,000 people that are at the game down in Miami and looking forward to supporting our guys down there. But again, it's just taking care of business on the field and playing against a great Miami opponent and doing something big and keeping this roll going, Ron.
Absolutely. Brian Chakos, it's always a pleasure, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, buddy. See you, man.
828 at WCHL. Brian Chaco is reflecting on a great win for the Carolina football team this past Saturday. And I'm Ron Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Playmakers helped the team bring home a big win from Charlottesville. This is our Chansky with Monday Sports Notebook. You know one characteristic of good athletic teams? It's when they don't play their best and still find a way to win. That's exactly what the Tar Heels did at Virginia Saturday, something that they could not do 3 weeks earlier against Virginia Tech. Carolina found a way to win a tough game, and that is a great sign for the rest of the season. The Heels played their worst offense in 3 weeks, but still managed to score 4 touchdowns on talent and guts. Who else but Marquise Williams can turn a simple read option from a 10-yard gain into a 52-yard touchdown run? Only the explosive and fast athletes like Williams, and who can outjump defenders and outrun them to get under long bombs thrown by Marquise, but Mac Hollins, a former walk-on turned star as a redshirt sophomore. And how about Mitch Trubisky and the confidence Lyra Fedora showed in him when Williams had to come out of the game for a play after losing his helmet while being sacked? Most coaches would have burned a timeout that would have allowed Williams to come back without missing a play. But Fedora sent Trubisky in, and after not playing since October 4th, the redshirt freshman gunslinger patiently found T.J. Thorpe over the middle on 3rd and 15 for the winning touchdown. Other playmakers who helped the Tar Heels rally from a 14-0 deficit and bring home their third straight win in Charlottesville after losing 14 in a row there over a 30-year stretch. Punter Tommy Hibbert, who flipped field position twice in the second half with pooch punts that were downed inside the Virginia 2-yard line. Keeping the Cavaliers backed up led to Carolina having short fields to complete the rally. The decisive drive began when defensive lineman Nazir Jones stepped in front of a screen pass, intercepted the ball, and rumbled 20 yards to the UVA 38. That is talent for someone who is 6'5 and 280 pounds. The winning drive was kept alive by a pinpoint third down pass from Williams to Ryan Switzer on the sideline. And after Trubisky hit the winner, it was the athletic Hollins who recovered the gutsy onside kick that Fedora called. The stats do not show a great team effort in yards per play and time of possession. But make no mistake about it, some talented individuals stepped up and saved the day. This is our Chansky. See ya.
And one and two.
Meet Samaya. She may seem like an ordinary 4-year-old budding ballerina, but she's a champion at heart. Samaya was diagnosed with congestive heart failure at 4 months old. That's when UNC Children stepped in with a life-saving transplant she needed. As a leading children's hospital in the Southeast, we provide care for future champions of all ages, like Samaya, so she can get back to dancing and we can say we knew her when. Visit unccchildrens.org.
As presenting sponsor of the 2014 Battle for Atlantis contest, Continental Tire is sending 2 lucky UNC fans to the Bahamas to cheer on your Tar Heels. Let Continental Tire get you in the game with their award-winning Eco Plus technology that gains you miles and saves money. From the all-new True Contact to the Cross Contact LX20, Continental Tire has a tire that's right for you. To find a retailer near you, visit ContinentalTire.com. Continental Tire, for what you do.
Hi, I'm Sarah Cooney, owner of the Root Cellar Cafe and Catering. You've known us as Foster's Market Chapel Hill, but we recently changed our name, and I invite you to come check out our new look. We stayed true to the concepts that made Foster's legendary. Scratch-made food, fresh local ingredients, and a commitment to our local farms and community. We've also added some exciting new menu items. Think of the Root Cellar as an old friend with a new name. Visit us on MLK for delicious food, made right, right here, or at RootCellarChapelHill.com.
One great team joins another. The team at Harrington Bank is now part of the Bank of North Carolina family. Harrington Bank customers will continue to see familiar faces along with some new ones, along with more products and services. At North Carolina, we are operating from a position of strength and stability. We work with individuals, businesses, and professional clients. We invite you to visit us at our Chapel Hill locations or at any of our other banking offices throughout the Carolinas. If your bank is not delivering more than you expect, we need to talk. Member FDIC.
Boo! It's Tracy Wright and Wendy Thompson with Tony Hall and Associates, the Power of Two in Chapel Hill and Carborough.
Fall is here, the weather is beautiful, and it is a great time to buy or sell a home.
Interest rates remain low, and lenders have many loan programs to offer.
Don't be scared. Let us help you prepare your home to sell and search for your next one.
Call the Power of Two, Tracy and Wendy, at Tony Hall and Associates.
At Tony Hall and Associates, we don't just list houses, we sell them.
Thousands of people around the country are switching from smoking to vaping. This is the Vapor Girl telling you that I turned a lifetime of chain smoking into vaping. Our customers find vaping is cleaner, healthier, and they love our hundreds of flavors that we create right here in Chapel Hill from homegrown tobacco. The Vapor Girl has everything you need to make the switch yourself. No more cigarette smell, no more cigarette butts. Visit one of the Vapor Girl retail locations in Chapel Hill, Durham, and Pittsburgh, each with a vapor bar for sampling. For more information, go to thevaporgirl.com.
Are you looking for new customers? Try our local deal brought to you by WCHL and the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce. You offer a deal to the community from your business and folks purchase it. Everybody loves a deal. With our local deal, your company is featured on 97.9 FM WCHL, on the website at ourlocaldeal.com, and through social media. Want to try the best marketing deal in town? Visit ourlocaldeal.com or call us at 919-933-4165.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you this morning by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. It is 43 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. Lots of sunshine today. High today in the upper 70s. Tonight mostly clear with low in the upper 40s. And then tomorrow a little warmer than today. Sunshine with a high in the low 80s. Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. We tell you about their coffee all the time, but also Cruisers serves fountain drink perfection every day. Made with 100% filtered water, served at 34 degrees over their famous chewy ice. It's guaranteed to taste great and only 79 cents. Cruisers, good to go.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM WCHL on chapelboro.com.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
A quick look at your morning news on WCHL 835. I'm Ron Stutz. 3 days into the early voting period, turnout remains brisk across Orange County and across the state of North Carolina. That's no surprise. Turnout is typically lower for midterm elections, but this year, all eyes are on our state as the race for control of the U.S. Senate could come down to the contest between incumbent Democrat Kay Hagan and Republican challenger Tom Tillis. Surveys show the two in a neck-and-neck race. Different pollsters have different results. Last week, Public Policy Polling released its latest survey, showing Hagan holding on to a slim 3-point advantage, with Libertarian Sean Haw polling about 5% and a sizable number of voters still undecided. And we're not alone. All over the nation, more and more surveys are showing more and more races coming down to the wire, which means it's still entirely unclear who's going to be celebrating after Election Day. WCHL Aaron Keck had a long conversation with Public Policy Polling Director Tom Jensen last week. You can hear that whole conversation on our website at chapelboro.com. So far, as far as early voting is concerned, the Seymour Center has seen the biggest turnout. More than 2,000 early voters already at the Senior Center. There are 5 early voting sites in Orange County. Board of Elections Office in downtown Hillsborough, Masters Garden Preschool, also in Hillsborough. And in addition to the Seymour Center in Chapel Hill, that is North Carolina Hillel on Cameron Avenue, right next to the UNC campus, and Carborough Town Hall on Main Street. For a complete schedule of early voting locations and hours, visit our website, chapelboro.com. Tonight, the Chapel Hill Town Council will consider approving a new apartment building downtown, as well as a new subdivision on Homestead Road. Downtown, the owners at the Franklin Hotel want to build on the lot behind the hotel that straddles Keenan and Millette Street. The project is known as The Graduate. It would consist of 6 stories of apartments above a 2-story parking deck. The 97 apartments would be aimed at grad students and young professionals. If approved, the courtyards at Homestead would bring 63 single-family homes along with the clubhouse and pool to 18 acres across from Weaver Dairy Road Extension. The council will meet tonight to consider these two projects at 7 o'clock in council chambers at Town Hall. SAT scores are in for 2014. Students in the Chapel Hill Carborough City School System scored well above the state and national average. According to numbers from the College Board, the average Chapel Hill Carborough senior scored a combined 1183 on math and critical reading. The national average was 1010. The statewide average was 1006. Including the essay portion, the average Chapel Hill Carborough senior scored a 1753. The national and state averages were both just below 1500. 79% of Chapel Hill Carbora seniors took the SAT. That's 710 students in all. And in news around town this morning, some stories to report include the website Mike.com, M-I-C.com. Just named Chapel Hill as one of America's 11 top cities for music outside New York and L.A. I would assume that they're including Carbora in there. Towns are recognized for their local music scene, including prominent local bands and music venues. Athens, Georgia, and Richmond, Virginia also made the list from the Southeast. And a big meeting coming up tonight at Chapel Hill High School if you plan to go solar. Solarize Chapel Hill is hosting a solar information session tonight at 7 o'clock in Haynes Auditorium. Solarize Chapel Hill is a grassroots initiative to help homeowners and businesses go solar by finding group discounts and other support services for those who do. Residents who sign up also get a free home solar assessment. So far, more than 300 people have signed up for the most recent campaign. If you'd like to get involved, or if you'd just like to learn more, head to tonight's meeting at Chapel Hill High School, or you can go online and visit solarizechapelhill.org for more information. Of course, the Weinstein Report and the UNC academic scandal has made its way into the national media, as well as the late-night talk shows and the national comedy outlets as well. Here's Saturday Night Live's take on the news, part of their weekend update segment this past Saturday night.
A new report was released this week accusing UNC of more than 18 years of academic fraud involving more than 3,000 student-athletes. UNC student-athletes refuted the report, calling it both ungood and distrue.
And the online satire site The Onion wrote, "What really matters isn't what fake classes they took or what fake grades they got. It's what fake stuff they learned." Well, a couple of quick sports notes we didn't have a chance to get to a few minutes ago. Freshman Justin Jackson scored 18 points to help North Carolina beat Fayetteville State 111-58 in its exhibition opener on Friday night. In case you haven't heard, fellow rookie Theo Pinson added 15 points to go along with 8 rebounds. Tar Heels had 5 players in double figures. Tar Heels dominated the boards nearly 2-1 and finished with 29 second-chance opportunities, second-chance points. Marcus Page added 14 points, while Bryce Johnson pulled down 13 rebounds. J.P. Tokido had 8 assists. Tar Heels led 46-27 at halftime, then shot 62% after the break and cruised the rest of the way. After playing to a tough 1-1 draw against number 2 Florida State last Thursday, 5th-ranked North Carolina women's soccer team needed a boost of energy in the second half to emerge victorious over gritty Miami 3-0 on Sunday afternoon at Fetzer Field. After a listless start, Carolina got on the board via a penalty kick by Paige Nielsen in the 29th minute, and then got second-half goals from Emily Bruder and Megan Buckingham to finally put away the Canes, who did their best to pressure the UNC goal all day. And for the second time in 2 years, North Carolina men's golf team takes home the title, the Bridgestone Golf Collegiate, with a 15-under par, 849 total, the 6th-lowest team score in the history of the tournament. Freshman Ben Griffin also brought home the individual victory for the Tar Heels, his second win of the season, with a 10-under 206 total, 5th-lowest score in event history. WCHL News Time, 8:42.
The rugged Samsung Galaxy S5 Active, exclusively from AT&T, stands up to most everything. Falls into the shallow end? No problem. Falls into a mud puddle? A-OK. Falls into a deep fryer? That's a no-no. Drop it in a mop bucket? Fine. Drop it in the chili con queso? No problemo. Drop it in a garbage disposal? Yeah, that's a problem. Rain shower? No biggie. Meteor shower? That would be a no.
AT&T, mobilizing your world. Make the most of this school year and get the Samsung Galaxy S5 Active for zero down with AT&T Next. Exclusive to AT&T, the Galaxy S5 Active is engineered for your active lifestyle. Visit att.com or store for details.
Device meets military standards for water and shock resistance. Submersible to 3 feet for 30 minutes. Rinse residue shock resistant for drops or falls less than 4 feet on flat surface. AT&T Next requires qualified installment agreement, credit, and wireless.
What's
service.
What's more rock and roll than the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? The Chapel Hill Carbora Business Hall of Fame. On November 13th, join the Chapel Hill Carbora Chamber of Commerce for this gala event and induction ceremony that will recognize the true rock and roll stars of our business community, whose excellence in business management and courageous thinking has made a positive and lasting impact on our community. The Hall of Fame Gala, a black tie celebration, is November 13th at the Carolina Inn in Chapel Hill. Visit carolinachamber.org to buy your tickets today.
And one and two.
Meet Samaya. She may seem like an ordinary four-year-old budding ballerina, but she's a champion at heart. Samaya was diagnosed with congestive heart failure at 4 months old. That's when UNC Children stepped in with a life-saving transplant she needed. As a leading children's hospital in the Southeast, we provide care for future champions of all ages, like Samaya, so she can get back to dancing and we can say we knew her when. Visit unccchildrens.org.
Commentary on the way from Ellie Kinnaird on WCHL, and also we're going to tell you more about Skudjaja. In today's 44 at WCHL, Ron Stutz, and let's check in one more time with Nikki Morse and find out what's going on the roadways.
Seeing delays, 40 eastbound, starting right around Highway 54 through Highway 55.
There's a shock.
I know. Northbound Durham Freeway also slowing between Ellis Road and Austin Avenue as you head towards downtown Durham, and expect southbound delays as well on the Durham Freeway as you approach I-40 from Cornwallis. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 967-8363 or safely tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
Every time you mention southbound, I hear the Allman Brothers in my head.
I'm sure you hear more things in your head than that, but that's okay.
Yeah, there's lots of voices up there, but lots of music, too.
Awesome. You know,
so, and eastbound, don't even ask me about that.
Oh, no.
Eastbound down. All right. Hey, listen, thanks a lot.
We'll talk
to you later on. Thanks for all your reporting this morning and all your hard work and all your cleaning over there.
Hey, I'm not done.
Really?
Really.
All right, the inimitable Nikki Morse. And now we turn to your Chapel Hill Carborough weather, and it looks pretty good. It's a little bit on the chilly side this morning, but really looking pretty nice. 44 degrees right now, sunshine today. High today in the upper 70s. Tonight mostly clear with the low in the upper 40s. And then tomorrow we're looking at sunshine with a high in the low 80s. So really a couple of good days on the way, no question about that. It's 8:45 at WCHL. Good morning.
And now WCHL presents The Commentators.
This is Ellie Kinnaird. I am delighted that North Carolina joined the 21st century and same-sex partners can now marry. While it seemed like lightning speed, I'm sure it does not to my gay friends who have been together for sometimes decades. I have a long history with the issue, and I'm proud to claim a place at the beginning of the movement. My first encounter with the issue was when I was mayor of Carborough, and we passed a domestic partners registration, the only place in the state. Running for the Senate in 1996, I answered a Vote Smart poll that asked my position on gay marriage. I answered that it should be legal, based on the 14th Amendment's equal protection of the laws and the full faith and credit clause. My Republican opponent jumped on it. Elected to the Senate in 1997, at the behest of gay friends and elected colleagues, I introduced legislation to repeal the Crimes Against Nature statute that had been used to harass and convict gay people by the police and courts. Assuming everyone thought like Orange County, I was dismayed when the bill died a morning. After I introduced it in my second term, the GLBT community and their families held a press conference, with only Durham Senator Jeannie Locus and I attending. But I did convince Senator Brad Miller to hold a Judiciary Committee hearing for the advocates to speak. My third term, the chair of the committee refused to hold a hearing, but the gay community lobbied hard and the word was getting out that this wouldn't go away. The bill became moot when the Supreme Court in Lawrence v. Texas declared that sex between consenting adults was constitutional and could not be subjected to criminal sanctions. We tried to get the statute taken off the books, but the General Statutes Commission that revises statutes refused. Finally, Carborough, always in the forefront, asked our delegation to add prohibition of sexual orientation discrimination to the Carborough Housing Ordinance. Its life was also quickly extinguished. So, I am especially pleased that in spite of the legislature and the 21% of the voters who passed the marriage amendment, all people will now have the right to marry. This is Ellie Kinnaird.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
847 at WCHL, and special guests in the studio this morning, Charlotte and Eric White, are here, and they are the Skudjaja folks, if you don't know that. And first of all, Charlotte, let me ask you, for the people who out there who are scratching their heads right now, there are probably three or four people who've been hiding under a rock and haven't heard about the Skudjaja Fund. What is Skudjaja? How do you spell it? What in the world is that, and what does it mean?
Okay. Skajaja is S-K-J-A-J-A. Fun. And it stands for Scott, Kim, Josh, Ashley, Jessica, Adam, which we named after our family. Eric's sister did a Pay It Forward project a few years ago and asked us all to pay it forward and come back and tell her what we did with the money. And the second year, Eric and I started the Skajaja Fund, and we give kids the opportunities to participate in enrichment and educational opportunities, and they get to pay it forward in return for the money that they got.
Fantastic. Well, Eric, let me ask you this. I know that you've started a tradition. You love seafood. I know that.
That is right.
And all that goes along with it. But tell us about this traditional event you have coming up.
Well, every year, one of our major events is a traditional low country boil. This year, we're holding it at the Legion Post on Legion Road here in Chapel Hill. And it features a lot of fun. As you know us, we make sure our events are fun.
Oh, yeah. Just assume that.
Well, and this year and all previous years, we prepare what's called a low country shrimp boil. It's shrimp, sausage, corn, and potatoes all boiled together, all spiced up nice. Yes, sir.
Sounds good. I'm getting hungry.
It's yummy.
So that's the dinner portion, and that includes that we have beer and wine and, of course, sweet tea. Being in Chapel Hill, we have to have sweet tea.
Yeah.
And we also have a great bluegrass band playing. It's a local band, Lester Fricks.
All right.
They're fantastic.
Yeah, they are.
So it's going to be a lot of fun coming up soon. I'll let Charlotte tell you more about that.
Well, Charlotte, I know if somebody wants to go, reservations are required.
Because
you have to know how much food you're going to have to prepare and all that kind of stuff. So tell us how folks can find out more.
So you can go to skajajafund.org and buy tickets online. You can sign up and pay online with your credit card, or you can sign up and bring a check the night of if you'd like. We just need to know how much food to buy.
Yeah. Now, I know that you have raised a lot of money over the years with this already, and where does that money go specifically? I mean, I know you talk about helping children and let them take part in activities. What are you talking about here?
So we work with Chapel Carver City School social workers from kindergarten through senior year, and we've paid for kids to take private music lessons, go to summer camps, go to sports uniforms, SAT tutoring, regular tutoring, all sorts of different things that they might, field trips, overnight field trips, and then they've done things like volunteer at local nonprofits. They've created their own food and book drives. They've tutored other students. It's just, you know, they've done school cleanups. This is really cute. We just approved a first grader to attend Communiversity After School, which is a great after school program. And she is going to be her kindergarten teacher assistant.
Wow.
Oh, that's, which is really, I thought, yeah, kind really of a cool.
Eric, what's your goal this year for raising money? How much you hope to bring in?
We hope to bring in a lot of money, Ron.
Thank you. I think
for this event, a reasonable goal for us is about $10,000. We've done straddling that. I guess this is about our sixth year doing this. We've straddled that for the last 6 years. And that's kind of the number we're trying to keep this at. We have another major fundraiser and event in the year where we actually raise even a little bit more than this. This is meant to be really fun.
Color the Hill.
Color the Hill is the other event. It's a color run.
Yeah, that's really something
spring.
Else.
This is meant to be really fun. And we are just limited to the number of people to about 200. So we don't have any lofty goals, and we don't want to make this any bigger. We figure 200 people makes it a more fun event for everybody. Everybody gets a chance to say hello to each other, shake each other's hand, etc.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun for sure. And again, Charlotte, give us that website address again for folks to find out more.
Okay, Skajaja, which is skajajafund.org.
And I forgot to say when the Beach Shack Boil is. It's November the 8th.
Right.
From 6:30 to 10 p.m.
Right. And so you really need to buy your tickets by this weekend so that we can go and buy all the food. So
okay. Well,
pre pre-tickets needed.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, both of you. It's always good to see you.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Ron. Thanks, WCHL.
Eric, once again, this interview has confirmed that you definitely married up.
Absolutely.
Please.
Hey, good to see you guys.
Thank you.
All right. Everybody go to the big event. It is going to be a lot of fun and raises money for a very good cause.
Looking for a classic village lifestyle plus a sophisticated new home? Visit Stanley Martin Homes at Winmore just off Homestead Road in Chapel Hill. Not only does Winmore offer a pool, playground, trails, and open space, your children can walk to Sewell Elementary and Chapel Hill High School. The UNC bus route stops at Winmore, right near Town Center, too. Stanley Martin Homes offers the best in energy efficiency and a choice of three beautiful designs at Winmore, starting in the 370s. Go see them or go to stanleymartin.com.
Glass Half Full is the friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop in the heart of downtown Carrboro. You can meet your friends for a delicious lunch or dinner of skillfully prepared contemporary American cuisine, browse the wine shop for an intriguing bottle to take home, or just relax at the beautiful candlelit bar with a spicy margarita or frosty craft beer. Glass Half Full, good food, fine wine, and lots of fun too. Visit us online at glasshalffullcarrboro.com.
You know, we are just over halfway through our biggest contest of the year at WCHL. It is a Mark Vitale Nationwide Carolina Basketball Bahamas giveaway presented by Continental Tire. WCHL and ChapelBrew.com are going to send you and a friend to see the Carolina basketball team play in the 2014 Battle for Atlantis, November 26th through 28th. The winner will get great seats to three UNC games and four nights on Paradise Island. And I will be taking an entry now for our fifth weekly finalist of the morning news. Be caller number five at 919-929-WCHL, and you'll get entered to be one of our fifth weekly finalists. Finalists will receive an invitation to our drawing party at R&R Grill. That comes up on November 10th. And again, caller number five right now, 919-929-WCHL.
Performance BMW in Chapel Hill is turning pink in honor of cancer awareness. For every BMW we sell this month, we'll make a contribution to UNC Limeburger Comprehensive Cancer Center. During our Turn Performance BMW Pink event, you can lease a new 2014 BMW 320i for $355 per month. Outstanding value throughout your Performance BMW experience. That's the Performance BMW promise.
Stock number BB4077. 36-month lease with 10,000 miles per year. Based on MSRP of $36,245 and selling price of $33,675 with $27,018 due at signing. Excludes tax, tag, and 640. 49 admin fee. Dealer retains manufacturer incentives. Financing with approved credit through BMW FS. See dealer for details. Take delivery by 31 October 2014.
Listen to what Kendra had to say about her Performance BMW experience.
Joshua, my boyfriend, has always wanted a BMW. Salesperson James warmly greeted us at the door, and this immediately put us at ease. Ask for James if you are in the market for a wonderful experience.
BMW is the ultimate driving machine, 2014 Center of Excellence and volume leader. Visit us in person in Chapel Hill, just a quarter mile off I-4.
Rainwater is essential to our lives, and the trees around our homes add beauty and shade. But the combination of water and leaves clogs gutters and causes leaks, rot, and foundation problems around our homes. Hi, I'm Charlie Quayle with Gutter Solutions. We combine well-crafted gutters and our exclusive Gorilla Guard gutter covers for gutters that work, guaranteed. Call Gutter Solutions today to get the monkey off your back with the Gorilla Guard gutter covers at 967-7979 or find us on the web at chimneysplusgutters.com.
Locally owned and serving the community, F&F Automotive has been the area's best-kept secret for over 50 years.
Conveniently located at 107 West Weaver Street in Carrboro, F&F Automotive has a newly renovated shop with state-of-the-art equipment, is an official North Carolina inspection station, and our friendly staff of ASE-certified technicians offers a full service of routine maintenance and advanced repair needs for all makes and models.
Fast, friendly, affordable, convenient, and local.
Teacher and student discounts available. Stop by and see us or visit FNFauto.com today to learn more.
All right. Congratulations to R.B. Hall, who called in. He was our fifth caller, and his name will go on the list, and he may be our finalist from this week on the WCHL Morning News. Listen as Aaron Keck takes your calls later on in the day, and go to our website for all the details, chapelbrew.com. You can get all the details on the basketball giveaway and all the sponsor locations. There are 30 sponsor locations in all. Congratulations again, R.B. Hall, and I'm sorry I could not get to all the phone callers, but keep trying.
It's finally here. Time to get your entry in for the Mark Vitale Nationwide Carolina Basketball Bahamas Giveaway presented by Continental Tire.
Bryce Johnson with the board. Transition three other way is good.
WCHL and ChapelBrew.com want to send you and a friend to the Bahamas to watch the Tar Heels in the Battle for Atlantis with 30 sponsor locations around town collecting entries, including Five Guys, Venable Rotisserie Bistro, and the UPS stores at Fordham Boulevard and Metamont. There's no way you can miss getting in your entry once every week for 6 weeks. You can also enter by calling in to the WCHL Morning News and the WCHL Evening News every weekday, and go online to chapelboro.com. Remember, you can enter via every entry method in every sponsor location once each week, including Lloyd Tire and Alignment, Jewel Recycle, and Louise Beck Properties. It's the Mark Vitale Nationwide Insurance Carolina Basketball Bahamas Giveaway, presented by Continental Tire. Watch the Tar Heels play three games and stay four nights in the Bahamas.
Are you looking for new customers? Try Our Local Deal, brought to you by WCHL and the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce. You offer a deal to the community from your business and folks purchase it. Everybody loves a deal. With Our Local Deal, your company is featured on 97.9 FM WCHL, on the website at ourlocaldeal.com, and through social media. Want to try the best marketing deal in town? Visit ourlocaldeal.com or call us at 919-933-4165.
This hour of the Morning News is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
WCHL's Chapel Hill cover weather, really nice. It is 45 degrees right now and warming up pretty soon here. Lots of sunshine today. Look for a high today in the upper 70s. It's 9 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
CBS News, I'm Frank Setapani. President Obama's Ebola response team is working on new guidelines to deal with health workers returning from the Ebola zone in West Africa. CBS News senior White House correspondent Bill Plant.
Those guidelines are expected to be released in a few days. And the White House hopes that they will take the place of the restrictions the states have put in place, particularly New York, New Jersey, and Illinois.
In New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo responded to pressure from the White House and medical groups by ending the forced hospitalization of health workers who aren't showing symptoms. But they will have to stay home for 21 days and go to the hospital if they develop a fever or other symptoms. In Newark, New Jersey, CBS's Heather Bosch has the latest on a nurse who's been hospitalized since late last week.
She's showing no signs of Ebola.
They took my temperature orally, and it was completely normal.
But after arriving from West Africa, nurse Casey Hickox has been held outside a hospital in an isolation tent, no shower, no clothes except paper scrubs.
This to me is just completely unacceptable.
She's suing to be set free.
Now, this is just in from Johannesburg. South African prosecutors say they will appeal the 5-year prison sentence a judge imposed on track star Oscar Pistorius for the fatal shooting of his girlfriend. As it stands, Pistorius could be out in less than a year. A second teenage girl wounded in Friday's school shooting in Marysville, Washington, has died. Gia Soriano was 14, the same age as the shooter who also died, apparently from a self-inflicted wound. School Superintendent Becky Berg told a public meeting the Seattle suburb has an important choice to make.
A tragedy like this can tear us apart or make us closer and stronger than ever.
Declassified government documents show that spy agencies weren't above recruiting former Nazis as spies during and after the Cold War. Live to CBS News correspondent Vicki Barker.
In all, the New York Times reports U.S. intelligence agencies used at least 1,000 ex-Nazis and collaborators as spies. As recently as 1994, the CIA reportedly pressured prosecutors to drop an investigation into a former SS officer implicated in the massacre of tens of thousands of Jews in Lithuania. The FBI blocked Justice Department Nazi hunters on the trail of 16 former Nazis because all 16 had become FBI assets. It's believed all the spies have since died. Frank?
A final contingent of U.S. Marines is coming home from Afghanistan. CBS's Aaron Lyle watched them leave from an airfield in Kandahar.
Everyone I spoke to at the base is really excited to go home, and they're very proud of the fact that they're the last group of Marines to be at Camp Leatherneck and to be the Marines that are closing down the base.
The U.S. combat role in Afghanistan will end at the end of this year. A day after Iraqi forces retook a town south of Baghdad from ISIS terrorists, a suicide attack there has